The reading today is from John chapter 7, starting at verse 37. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. On hearing his words, some of the people said, "Surely this man is the prophet." Others said, "He is the Christ."
Thanks, Kerry. So we're in week three of this series at the moment, looking at the person and work of the Holy Spirit. We've called it The Present. And just before Jesus ascended to the Father, he promised this present to his followers while he was still with them, before he went away, equipping them for the task ahead, promising that he would always be with them and give them power and his presence. But of course, when he made this promise, he was still with them. And I'm not sure they fully understood the difference that this gift, this present of the Holy Spirit would make to them. A gift that I don't think at that time they realised would actually change their life. I don't think they realised that until they'd been given it. I wonder whether you've had a gift like that ever in your life. I've had one. It was wooden toast tongs. Now, who would have believed that wooden toast tongs would change my life? Well, I didn't really believe it until I started using them. And then, suddenly, the gift that I never thought I needed suddenly changed my life. In fact, it probably saved my life, to be honest, rather than putting a knife or a fork into the toaster to retrieve the toast. Now I had this safe device, the wooden toast tongs. I'm sure you can get a pair if you need them as well. It's one of those things that you don't realise you need until you've got them, and then you wouldn't be without them. And I think when the disciples first heard about the Spirit, they weren't so sure. But on the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit came in power upon them, then I think they realised this was the gift, this was the present that they needed to take the whole gospel out into the world, to fulfil the command of Jesus to go and make disciples of all nations. Sometimes we think we're managing well. Sometimes perhaps we are not quite sure and feel unsure and uncertain. But when he comes, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you won't ever want to go on living without him again. Last week, Tom helped us understand that fear is real, but so is the power of God. And I hope that this week you felt the presence of the Holy Spirit as you faced the ongoing challenges of lockdown and the uncertainty of the way forward. And as we've perhaps engaged a little bit in the whole issue of racism that we've come to understand a bit more as we've engaged with that story as well. These are changing times, and perhaps sometimes the fear will overwhelm us. But Psalm 46 verse 5 reminds us that God is within us and he will help us at the break of the day, right at the very beginning. We're not alone, we're not abandoned, but God is present. Today I want us to think about the life that the Holy Spirit brings and the difference that that life makes to our lives as well. Psalm 46 and verse 4 says, "There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God." A river, something vibrant and life-giving, compelling, that makes the city of God glad, the place where God dwells. Now, of course, we know from the promises of Jesus that he said that he dwells within us through the presence of his Spirit. And there is a stream, there is a river that makes us glad as the Holy Spirit dwells in our lives. In the chaos of fear or disruption or upheaval, nations are in uproar, but there is a river that spreads out gladness and joy, something to build our lives on, something that refreshes and renews and brings life. During the lockdown, I've been able to explore the area a bit more, and I've come across a stagnant pond in Hemheath Woods. I've come across the famous Lyme Brook that threads its way through Newcastle. And I've walked along the River Trent as it winds its way through Stoke. I love walking wherever there is water and where there is life all around them. Life happens when water is flowing, when it's moving, when fresh water is coming in and allows life to flow out. And I think that's the image of John chapter 7 as Jesus stands up at the end of this incredible Jewish festival, putting himself at front and centre of what is happening in this symbolic festival of the tabernacles. Now, this festival of the tabernacles was a celebration of autumn harvest of the tree and the vine, but it was also a reminder of the wandering of the people in the wilderness where the people lived in temporary shelters. A seven-day party culminating in day seven when the high priest enacted a prayer for water following the summer drought. And the text says, on the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood up. Now, on the last and greatest day of the festival, the high priest took a golden pitcher of water from the Gihon spring, which was the source of the whole city of Jerusalem's water, and he processed it up the hill right into the very heart of the temple, to the altar of the temple, and there he would pour out this golden pitcher along the across the temple to signify the prophetic signs of Zechariah and Ezekiel, the life-giving water that would flow from the temple to impact the nations, the rivers that make glad the cities of God. And the high priest did this seven times, going down to the spring, walking back up to the temple, pouring the water over the altar. And it's into this context, as the seventh procession reaches its climax on day seven, that Jesus stood up and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, rivers of living water will flow from within them." And John comments, by this he meant the Spirit. Life-giving water will flow from Jesus into the people who believe in him and out from them to bring life wherever it flows. I wonder if today you're thirsting for more of Jesus in your life. I wonder if you're thirsting for more of this life-giving flow, this life-giving Spirit to flow in you and through you. Because I think there's three things this morning that this life-giving flow offers you. I think firstly, it offers you refreshing. When Peter stood up after the day of Pentecost and he gave this incredible sermon, we read in Acts chapter 3 verse 19, Peter saying, "Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord." He was speaking of Jesus, of course, and that the refreshing comes when we listen to his words, when we're reminded of who he is and what he has done for us. Since coming to Newcastle last October, we've been through some interesting weather, haven't we? Non-stop rain, I think we had, which seemed to go on forever and ever. And then we've had this period of very little rain, when everything seems to have been sucked out, life has been sucked out of it. And the impact of no rain is almost instantaneous. But the impact of refreshing water also is instantaneous. The drooping leaves of the plants are now back to their best. The plant looks happier and healthier and stretches up towards the sun like it did before. And all just for a little drop of refreshing rain. It doesn't take much for revival to start. Perhaps this period of time has left you feeling quite dry in your relationship with God. Maybe it's taken a bit of a hit. You started well during this time, but the discipline of connecting to God has faded and the river seems to have dried up a bit. You're not connecting to others in the way that you'd love to or you used to, and life's dried out a bit. Jesus says that anybody who wants refreshing, anybody who's unhappy, dissatisfied, downhearted, exhausted from chasing the things that disappear as soon as you catch up with them, anyone who is in need of refreshing, come to me and life will flow. new energy, hope, love and power, refreshing rain. The second thing I think that this river brings to us, this river of the Spirit brings to us, is transformational. This life-giving river that flowed in the Garden of Eden. But of course, what happened in Eden to Adam and Eve happens to us as well. Despite this flowing river, sin falling short of the standard that God has invited us to live caused a soul drought in the lives of God's creation. They lost touch with the source, became separated and disorientated, and eventually their lives dried out completely. I took A-level geography a long time ago, and I remember studying rivers. Rivers have so many features, and a lot happens on the water's journey from its source to the sea. And at certain points, the water starts this meandering course as it takes the line of least resistance. And at other times, it keeps a very straight course through whatever obstacles are there, and eventually erodes even the hardest of rocks to make sure that it carries on its unrelenting path to the sea. And sometimes these meandering bends become separated from the main river. They form what I think are called oxbow lakes. When there's nothing coming into them anymore, they become cut off from the main source as the river tries to go straight along again. They come separate from the main flow. And as soon as you lose the main flow of the river, then barrenness and dryness replaces it. Life stops when you lose connection with the source of fresh water. Perhaps that's how you feel today. You're watching this and you know that you have no connection to Jesus at the moment. Perhaps the boulders have got too big, the rocks too immovable. You've meandered away from the source of life, trying to find an easier route, and you've become completely disconnected, cut off from the flow. Isaiah chapter 41 verse 18. God says, I will make rivers flow on barren heights and springs within the valleys. I will turn the desert into pools of water and the parched ground into springs. You can be reconnected to the water of life. It can bring transformation into your life today, if you let the river flow, the Spirit begin to flow again. And thirdly, I think this river is grace-giving as well. It happened for the Samaritan woman who went to get some water from a well. She went at the hottest part of the day because she didn't want to meet anyone, but she met Jesus. She went for water, but she got living water. John chapter 4 verse 13, Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks this water from this well will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And she drank that water. And she went away with the burdens and barriers, the mistakes and the misdemeanors taken away from her, because she drank from the grace that Jesus offered to her that day. She thought she wasn't good enough, but she found someone who made her good enough. Jesus, the source of life-quenching water. And as the water flowed into her life, it started flowing out of her life. As she received healing for her past, she offered reconciliation to others. There is a river of grace that is waiting for anyone who needs it. You'll find it in Jesus, who invites you to drink and never be thirsty again. See, Jesus promises living water. Life that reaches deeper than anything else ever could. Life in all its fullness. And for people who want to be refreshed and transformed and receive grace, he offers you living water. The presence and the power of the Holy Spirit for those who will believe and trust in him. Living water that washes away the boulders that clog up our lives, that brings life and health and peace to us, that renews and refreshes and reinvigorates the soul. There is an unseen river of life that will flow into you. and then flow out of you. It will flow out of you into the office where you work. It will flow out of you into the home where you live, into the classroom that you go to. It can happen for anyone, for a doctor, for a nurse, for a carer, for a shop worker. It'll happen if you're retired or wish you were retired. It'll happen for a single mum with all the demands of raising young children. It'll happen for students and caretakers and cleaners. It can happen for CEOs and for teenagers. This flow of life-giving water that Jesus offers to all who will come to him. In Revelation 22 and verse 17, we read, "The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes to take the free gift of the water of life, let them come." Let it flow into you and from you. And let's see what fruit will grow and what healing will come. Drink the life-giving, thirst-quenching, refreshing, transforming Spirit of God. Jesus invites you today. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your promise. Thank you for the promise of your Spirit. I pray today that for those who are feeling in need of refreshment, for those in need of your transforming love, for those of us in need of your grace, that refreshing will flow into us and we'll find renewal and a new and fresh beginning today. We give you thanks for the past. Use us for the future, that this life-giving Spirit that we receive might flow out from us, that we will go and make disciples. We will go and declare the good news. We will go and bring healing and hope for all people. I pray that in the name of Jesus. Amen.